We're going to play this video for you, an amazing video. There again, I love the explanation that we're going to get. But who has issues with judging or being judged? Who says, I'm right most of the time, so just listen? I'm telling you, this verse is going to be opened up to us today. Please listen.
Top 10 most misunderstood verses in the Bible. Number 7, Matthew 7:1. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Are Christians supposed to judge? Well, the answer is kind of yes, and the answer is no, depending on what kind of judgments we're supposed to make. So I think one thing we need to learn is not to take judge not, lest ye be judged outside of its context and apply it wholesale anywhere. So that raises the question, where does this verse appear? Well, let's look at Matthew 7:1-5, and I think it'll be very illuminating what Jesus actually means when he says, don't judge. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you used, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. When we read the context, it's actually pretty clear that Jesus is not making a wholesale commandment never to judge. What's he saying? He's saying don't judge hypocritically. Don't judge people with a standard that you don't use to judge yourself. Hence the illustration is take the log out of your own eye, which blinds somebody, then you can see the speck in another person's eye. So Jesus is not saying don't ever judge. He's saying don't judge hypocritically, because the standard by which you judge other people is going to be used for you. Now, we actually know this point if we read further. If you go down a few verses in Matthew 7:15, Jesus says, beware of false prophets. Now, how do you recognize a false prophet? You have to make some kind of judgment of somebody's behavior or based on their beliefs. That's a kind of judgment that we have to make. In fact, go a little further in Matthew 18, Jesus says if a brother sins, we're supposed to lovingly confront them and then bring another and take them before the church. So there is a kind of judgment that believers are supposed to do amongst believers to hold each other accountable, but to do so humbly by judging ourselves first and not hypocritically. But what about outsiders? Paul actually says in 1 Corinthians 5:12 something very important that helps us think about judging outsiders. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. You see the pattern here emerging in the scriptures? We are supposed to judge other believers, but not hypocritically, and not in a way we don't first judge ourselves. When it comes to those outside, God is the one who will judge them. So let's be careful from taking a single line, judge not lest ye be judged, and use it outside of the context in which it first appears.
Judging. There is a concept, if we can grab a hold of it, it's almost like we could be our own teachers. If you were to ask yourselves, when's the last time I felt like I judged someone? What does it look like? You were probably in front of someone else talking about somebody who wasn't there. Have you ever gotten to an argument where you bring something up? Maybe it's your husband or wife, friend, and you point out a fault. What do they do in return? 90% of the time. They get offended, flip the story around, and point out a fault that you've done. Now, where does that lead? It's just an argument. It's really about who's winning here. So how are we looking at our neighbor if we're just so busy judging on the problem they have? Something has to happen that has to do with the love in our heart, and that's what I want to talk about us, or with us today. So 1 Corinthians 5:12, this is very interesting. This really sets the stage. He said, well, how does this set the stage? We're talking about Matthew 7 here. Listen to this. Paul is speaking. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders. Who is an outsider? Someone outside of the faith. They've yet to recognize Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so their measuring tool isn't the Word of God. It's kind of the world and what they think of it. And so he says, it isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, but it certainly is your responsibility to judge those inside the church who are sinning. So we have to comprehend that for a second. Because we start off with the words, don't judge, but now we're talking about, yeah, actually, it's the heart by which you do it. And so we have a responsibility when a believer that believes in Jesus Christ is living outside of the Word of God, we have a responsibility to pull them back in. So that judgment shows a heart. It's a Christ-like heart to care enough to say, hey, there's a mistake going on here, and I want to pull you back in just to the truth of the Word of God for your sake. That's very different than the argument where, well, you did this. Well, so you did this. Well, you did it first. I mean, it has nothing to do with a heart for the person. And so judging righteously starts off with a compassionate love, so much so that you're willing to step into a difficult place. Have you ever been in that place where you've had to tell someone, hey, you were going down the wrong road? It was a believer, and they were walking down the wrong road. Anyone ever try that? I would be surprised if probably most haven't. Because why would you be worried? You're going to help them, right? You're going to give them good advice. What could possibly go wrong, correct? Am I the only one that doesn't love being corrected? What does a correction say about you? It says you have a problem. You have a fault. You're wrong. So who likes to be told that? But in reality, who knows that you have a problem, that you can be wrong? Yeah, I do. I know that, but we struggle to be told that. And so here in Matthew 7, Jesus was viewing, the people are struggling here. But I want to start off by saying we do have the right, not only the right, but we are supposed to look at our brothers and out of love for them, steer them back in the right direction. If you go back to Matthew 5, this lesson in 7 started in 5. It's Sermon on the Mount. And so if you read from 5 on, Jesus almost doesn't take a breath. He's just teaching solid. And this is what 5 says in verse 1. One day he saw the crowds gathering. Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Who is he teaching? His disciples. He's teaching these believers this. And so those on the mountainside were gathering around, and they're feeding it, but we have to understand the context that Jesus is speaking to believers here when he's talking about judging. So let's get into it. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. What standard do we use? If we go after someone, like I just said, in a way of, well, what usually happens is if we can judge someone, if we can, it's almost a, it's like a psychological game that we play. If we can judge someone in a matter of point out a fault, put them down, who then is lifted up? Okay, God's saying that's the way that I'll be judged. If I continue to put myself above them. We're not looking at people for their sake. We're almost bringing ourselves up. You might say, oh man, what a horrible person I would be. Well, who has anxieties? Who ever thinks less of yourself? No, me? Okay. Me and Kathy, we're being honest. But you point out that, you know what? I have issues. I don't like those issues to be pointed out. If I can just point someone else's out, put me in the shadows, it takes like the spotlight off of me. It's almost like we can believe ourselves. But the heart behind that is so wrong. God desires for us to have such a passion for ourselves and for others that it's not about lifting someone else to bury someone. It's about looking at them through the eyes of Christ. So it goes on to say this, why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own? Anyone ever tried that? You have a problem. That problem is somewhat covered up. And so we look at someone else and just begin to point out their faults. You see, if we're really caring within our hearts, we want to deal with our problem. I don't like to walk up to anyone as a hypocrite. And so to deal with that problem, guess what has to happen? Anyone have a deep-seated, addicting behavior that you've done everything in your power to keep from someone else? Raise your hand and tell me what it is. Why wouldn't you? You've done all this work because the flesh says, I desire this, but the mind and heart that knows the word of Jesus because you're a believer, the mind and heart knows, man, I should not be, this is pulling me. I know what's wrong. And I love God. And so if I can just, but in order to love God, I have to be up there. I have to kind of point, hey guys, come on now, pull it together. That's why in verse 5, Jesus just says, hypocrite! He's trying to point out to people, you have to get this right. Why? It's because of this. We have to grab a hold of this. The second greatest commandment in all of the Bible, and the Bible says that it's equal to the first. Love your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. So when you love God, you comprehend God. We can see God, you are the creator. We are made in your image. You loved us. You have gave a garden to us, to Adam and Eve, to take care of us. You allowed us to name all the animals. You put us in authority in this world. You love us. You sent your son for us because of our mistakes. Your passion is for us. If we can love that God that loves that much, we're starting to get it. And now after you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, love your neighbor as yourself. Two things happen in this verse. You're loving others and you're loving you. A lot of our issues, we struggle with us. And so if we can love our neighbors as ourselves, judging takes a complete flip. And you're no longer putting down to lift yourself up. You're seeing people in a different light. And you're going to a brother and sister in the Lord and you're saying, I'm only coming to this because truly I love you. I could be talking to so-and-so about it, bashing you. That's not what I'm doing. I see a problem. And you see, we lack in that nowadays because it's been received as so damaging. And we're all so worried about losing our relationship that this is the word of God. And the word of God says, go to your brother, go to your sister, confront them on this, because if we can help each other, I'm telling you what, after that you see the progression. Hey, you know what? You pointed out a sin in my life. You did it out of love. I need to make that right so God connects and continue to move me forward in my life. But we're so worried about offense that's a struggle. And that's a real struggle. So in this verse right here, it's in Matthew, the verse escapes me, but love your neighbor as yourself. It's not now, it's this paradigm shift when it comes to judging. Judging is no longer this gossip thing behind the scenes, but it's a confrontational thing out of passion and love for another. Goes on to say, the hypocrite. Hypocrites, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then. So make right your life. Pattern your life after the word. Make the changes. Make the accountabilities. Get people involved in helping you. Stop the cover-up. Put measures of accountability in your life from people to, don't have it on me, but like cell phones, there are blockages you can put on there if you struggle with what you view. I talked to you a few weeks ago just about my wife and I's relationship. It's open enough to where if we see our problem, we talk about it. And that doesn't mean that we're these two perfect people that, hey, darling, didn't want to tell you this in front of everyone else, but kind of opened your mouth in the wrong way, and it was taken this way. And so she's like, oh, I did. Oh, gosh, I am so sorry, honey. I'll never do that again. Is that how that conversation went? No. What do you mean? I did. That's not what I meant. I mean, next thing you know, and so those conversations can be somewhat heated, but they are extremely important to have with each other because we love and trust each other, and we can see, hey, let's better each other. So it doesn't always come with the warm and the fuzzies, but we can't be afraid to do the work and will of God in order to better a relationship. So he says, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. While back, I got old. And when I got old, they changed my glasses. And they had to change my glasses by making the bottom read different than the top. Does anyone else know what I'm talking about? Bifocals. I hated them so much that I went and had them put in. I go to work, and I'm walking on this grating, and it's making me dizzy. And I went back to the doctor and said, take them out. He took them out, put regular lenses right back in. And so for the next 2 years, this is how my morning devotions went. It got so bad that I have this lamp because I don't want to light up the whole house. I get up early. And I'm doing this and I'm doing this. And finally I went back and just said, I need them. So I got bifocals. A friend of mine comes up to me a few weeks later. You ever have the little teeny screw right here pop and so your lens goes flink? I've had it several times. And so there he is, one-eyed, trying to, he comes up and says, Matt, I can't see a thing. I got this little dinky screwdriver and a screw. Could you help me get this lens back in? And so I take the lens, and guess what I did? I went like this, and I could see the world. I could see the head of the screw. I mapped it in. I tightened that thing up, and I fixed his glasses. How could I fix his glasses? How could I help him? Because I had clarity now. When I was fighting and being stubborn, saying, no, world, I want to live it this way. Take those bifocals out or don't tell me what to do. I couldn't have done that because I couldn't even read this print unless I held it a certain way. So I had to come to the place in my life where it's like, you know what? Whether I want this or not, I need them. So whether we want direction or not, whether we want God, the Word, to guide us or not, sometimes we don't. But we need it. And because I made that decision with these bifocals, and because we make the decision to make this word apply in our lives, we can see clearly enough to guide those around us. And so in about a minute, I had his glasses fixed. I gave him back his glasses, and he was seeing with clarity. You understand, that's just a comparison, but we have got to be open to the word and the will of God in order for us to serve a purpose in those lives around us. If we're not, we're going to be as blind as they are. And we're just going to be judging, put them down, lift us up. It gives us a passion when we come under the authority of this word. It gives us a love that we don't have on our own. It comes through on our own. It comes through the Holy Spirit. And that love, that second greatest commandment that's equal to the first, love others as yourself, will allow judging to take a whole different meaning. It comes out of a compassionate heart instead of vindictive or revenge style of thinking. Hit it on me. When we lose sight of our call to love one another, we will hypocritically judge at others' expense. Very true saying. So when we judge, it's like God said, don't judge this way. It'll be thrown back at you because it's at their expense. But listen to this. It's only as we understand the love God calls us to that we will be able to see clearly enough to redirect our fellow believers for their benefit. So judging now is actually compassion and full of heart in the direction of God. And that's going to happen when, as we as believers, man, this is just a solid part of our life right here, being directed by the Word of God. Now, does this apply to non-believers? This is the thing here. People who aren't agreeing that Jesus Christ is their Lord, they are still created in God's image. They are still people. 2 Peter 3:9 says he still wants them to come to repentance. But how can you judge someone who doesn't have the same standard? And so some may say, okay, so how do I love on them? You are Jesus right in front of them. I do this quite a bit. You have different areas where you're around people who don't believe quite like you do. So one of my places is my work. And I love those guys. I really do. And a lot of them believe quite differently than I do. But I just love them. I am the person who I am because of the Word of God, and that's how I love them. And so there will come a time, and some of them have sat down, hey, I want to go deeper. And that's when, okay, now this is what it is. This is what the good news is. And when people accept that, now it's almost like, now let's change the gear a bit. If you continue to live in this sinful lifestyle, you won't be following the Word of God. So yes, some changes have to be made. But that's why God really pushes this, Matthew 7:1, it's two believers. Because if you believe, then this is your standard. And this is what we live by. If you're not a believer, this is not your standard. So love them, but don't hold them accountable to the Word of God. It's not their standard. But through loving the lost, they can be found. And then this standard can direct their life. Amen? It's just the truth. So, as we pray about this, what I want to do is this. I like, and one thing I want to do more, we're a conservative church. That's not bad. We're one of the nicest churches I know. Anyone ever walks in this place says, Matt, your number one thing of this church is general kindness. I've had visitors tell me that. I've had friends and pastors that come in here that I've told them directly, come in here and tell me the good and the bad. And the good is always, your church is just so kind, so friendly. But we're conservative. And what that conservative means is, you can't always look at us and tell how we feel. I think we have a lot of worshipers in here that love God. But during a worship set, do you see running around and praising God and lifting hands? No, that's not a good or a bad. That's conservative. So sometimes when I have a call, I don't always know what you're thinking. We all need God. We all need prayer. We all need to go forward. So in the future, all I ask is if we believe that God is a God of miracles and he's a God of change and he has a compassion and love for us, then we have to be willing to step out of our box and say, I need it. I need it. Because if we stay in a conservative box and, well, I need it, but I'm not answering to it, I don't think he's going to give it to you. We have to be willing to stand up and say, I need this. So this is what I want to do, eyes open. If this verse hits you, and you're saying, God, I am struggling to a point with people, the ability to love them for whatever reason. Maybe they're hateful, maybe they're ungodly, maybe they're just different, but I am struggling. And so some words out of my mouth have been extremely judgmental and not in the right way. If you are struggling with that and you're saying, God, would you help change me? Would you just stand? As difficult as it may be. Just to say, God, this spoke to me. I need it. So I thank you for that. Lord God, right now, this is an answer to your question. We are your children. We desire to be closer to you. And so as we stand now, may your Holy Spirit just come down within our hearts and just direct us. And I know it's easier said than done. I know there's people who are going to be so difficult to love, but you love each and every one of those people. So God, right now, may you open up our hearts in the area of being judgmental. And may we redirect, redefine what judging is like in our lives. Break our hearts for those, dear God. Even those that will say, yes, wait a second, we believe in the same God and you're acting this way and you're doing this and you struggle in this area, man, what's wrong with you? God, break my heart. May I love them enough to say, hey, let's look at the word together and let's walk through this together. And Father, for the lost who have yet, who don't have your word as a standard, may we just love them. Because that word, that second commandment, that applies to all of us. That we're supposed to love others as ourselves. Because God, you loved us before we knew you. May we not walk in hypocrisy. So Holy Spirit, rest on each and every one of those who's saying, yes, that's me. Direct me. Direct their paths. May they be in your word. May we be in prayer. May we ask for forgiveness, and then may we celebrate our victories as we do it the right way. We pray all this in your name, Lord God, and everyone says, amen.